Hello and welcome to the World Retail Podcast brought to you by the World Retail Congress. My name is Ian McGarrigle and I'm chair of the World Retail Congress. Our aim at the World Retail Podcast is to bring together great retail businesses and great retailers to talk about retailing today. But we also talk to retail experts about the big issues impacting on the industry. In this special episode, I'm going to be discussing the findings of our exclusive annual Global Executive Survey, which we published just before this year's World Retail Congress. Talking through the results with me was Frank Quicks, the Managing Director and Founder of Q&A Retail, based in the Netherlands. Frank is also Chairman of the Ebeltoft Global Network of Retail Consultants. Ebeltoft is the research partner to the Congress and has undertaken this important global survey for the second year. To get a global view on what retail leaders are thinking about, worrying about, and also implementing in their businesses is incredibly useful. The results from this year's survey revealed some fascinating findings, as you will hear in my conversation with Frank. I hope you enjoy this special episode. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good hearing you again. It's good to join.
Great. And well, thank you again for collaborating with us at the World Retail Congress on producing this, I think, increasingly important piece of research, talking to CEOs primarily around the world. So maybe to start us off, I think to give us some context, maybe if you could tell us a little bit about the Ebeltoft Group and the kind of reach of this particular piece of research.
Yeah, the Ebeltoft Group is a network of retail consultants, brand and retail consultants globally. We are present in 17 countries, and this year, 11 out of 17 countries also participated. So I think it brought us some great insights. So countries involved are countries like Italy, Spain, Poland, but also Canada, the USA, South Africa, Netherlands, Germany, Portugal, France, and Brazil. So we have quite interesting scope of insights. And also we could a little bit look at the differences, especially to the regions. So we can see some differences in the Americas and in Europe.
Yeah. And I think we covered a huge amount in terms of what we asked the respondents to comment on. But I think, as always, with a survey like this, the key thing I always look for is what's the sentiment, what's the mood from the industry. So really, to start us off, how would you summarize the overall mood across all of those markets that you researched?
Yeah, well, when I'm looking at the overall mood, and especially if I'm looking at the retailers, generally quite positive. There's a positive mood on the future of their business and moving towards 2030, which is different from last year. However, when we asked if they think 2024 will be a positive year for the industry at large, we see a combination of positivity at one hand, but also some caution at the other end.
And how is that playing out? You mentioned some of the markets that we had respondents from, which is, you know, truly global in its spread. So were you seeing a uniformity across those markets or some interesting differences?
No, there are some interesting differences, and especially if you're... So the positive mood is almost everywhere, but if you're looking at where they are a little bit scared, then it's especially about scarcity. And if I'm looking at scarcity, then it's a scarcity of people, especially operating the store floors. So that's really prevalent in Europe, while scarcity in materials is more prevalent in the Americas. So that's a big distinction. So if you are looking at Europe, I think the aging is really becoming part of the one of the problems in Europe. So there's a big scarcity of people.
Yeah. So we positioned the research this year very much around the World Retail Congress theme of high performance retail, and we'll go into some of the detail on that. But you know, we're going to be examining high performance retail and what that means at the Congress. But could you see from across the responses we got what jumped out for you as you could see where retailers are concentrating to deliver high performance, great performance in their businesses?
Yeah, if I'm looking at some of the top priorities of retailers for 2024, they really include the acceleration of digitalization, throughout the business and the optimization of the store networks. So you can see both things are happening at the same time. So they are really looking at more digitalizing all their processes, but also optimizing store networks. So the physical store network that I believe many will also reduce. So retailers know that keeping in touch with the consumer behavior and the expectations towards retailers, that top priority, being really able to serve the customer at best. Also, we see that most retailers see value and urgency in implementing AI. So probably in many of your podcasts, you will have that everybody is talking AI, but that's also what we saw in the research. So, and they are facing really many challenges in getting this done. And especially here again, it's people. People is really the key area where they feel it's quite difficult to get the right people with the right capabilities in place.
Yeah. And we're going to start drilling down into look at those specific areas very shortly. But the important thing about this year's survey, it's the second year of the survey, so we now have year-on-year comparisons, which I know that's something you always look for, and it's important as research unfolds. What were you looking for when you were getting the first results back and seeing that the year-on-year comparisons?
This is the beauty. This is also the reason we started this research also last year, so that we could keep track of what would happen in the future. So what really stood out to us is the scarcity of people.
Right.
So that is talent, but also purely having enough staff. So it's not only using the right people, but today it's just finding people. And this has increased really further from last year. This year, 65% of the respondents noted that they are currently facing scarcity in people, and that's 10 percentage points higher than last year. So that's a huge increase.
And actually, last year was the big year for the crisis around employment and people, as we were still sort of grappling post-pandemic. And so anecdotally, when you talk to retailers, they say that the worst of that is over. But actually, it seems to have moved to a different kind of issue, as you say, with the kind of scarcity of talent. Is it specific talents and skills that's where the problem is?
It depends. But again, particularly a shocking finding for us was the severity of the challenge retailers are facing in terms of people and talents. So when we ask specifically on hiring, 93% of retailers noted that they are facing difficulties in hiring people in some areas at this time. So that's everybody. And one other takeaway that stood out to us to do with the challenges surrounding the implementation of AI is also that 75% of the retailers sees the implementation of AI in their operations as a crucial to stay ahead of the competition.
Yep.
However, 40% of respondents is facing issues in hiring the right people. So that's and especially what they feel is that there is a huge skill gap.
Yep.
Between what they are searching for and what they can find.
So in your day-to-day business at Q&A and also talking to your colleagues across Ebeltoft, were you surprised to the extent of that problem?
Yeah, especially if you're looking, so we at Q&A, but also our colleagues at Ebeltoft, at the other partners, we are all implementing AI, and especially also, and it's helping us enormously. So what really was striking me is that they feel, so 40% of the retailers feels that there is a huge skill gap, where I believe that with a little bit of training and a little bit maybe of external help, you can make people use AI in a good way. And that was for me really striking, because I do believe that it's not that difficult. It's not rocket science. But the most important thing there is that people should really learn how to prompt. So posing the right questions, that's the trick. So it's not a huge skill gap, I would think.
Yeah. So diving down into the detail of the survey, and we really positioned it around the theme, which is high performance retail. But more importantly, I guess, is the key pillars, as we call them, that have we've identified from what retailers have fed back to us. So what makes high performance retail? So that's about winning the customer, winning teams, winning innovation, winning business models, and winning with purpose. And so turning to that customer element, I took from the survey some really interesting insights to just how important that customer centricity is and that focus on the customer is for the business. And, in some ways there's a gap I could see between what...
Yeah, no, but if you are looking at the top priority for retailers from the survey is indeed to keep up with consumer trends. A majority of the respondents list their the way to adapt to the changing consumer as a top priority for this year. There's a clear understanding that being in touch with the consumer needs and preferences is an ever-important asset for potential growth. So they really do understand that they have to keep close track on their consumers.
I mean, it's increasingly important to be completely customer-focused. Customer centricity is the key phrase we hear a lot. But, again, looking at the survey, did you get the sense that retailers are walking the talk, as it were, in terms of really being customer-centric in how... Because I guess it's an big organizational question as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you're looking at the survey data, then 73% of the retailers see their current operations as somewhat customer focused, which is at least it's much higher than last year. However, we believe this is an area of nonstop interest and importance to the business, as an opportunity in the markets and behaviors of consumers can change so quickly. So they really have to be very close to the consumer. And so this should move really from somewhat customer-focused to purely customer-focused.
Yeah. And we asked them about the tools and the strategies around being customer-focused. So what was that telling you in terms of where are retailers putting that focus to really think about and put the customer at the heart, the consumer at the heart of everything they're doing?
Yes. Overall, we see a 13% point jump in customer focused leadership as compared to last year. So that's the good part. So the top down, there is a clear recognition of the importance of being customer centric. We also see that 3/4 of respondents are working on customer satisfaction management. They do have a CRM or loyalty schemes in place, or will have them in 2024. We applaud to see these efforts, as we believe it is important to always listen and understand customer feedback from your customers to improve the business, and think this is an important area for retailers to make an impact. And I really believe that they really should get as much feedback as possible, because every time when I'm talking to retailers, I quite often are surprised that there is a lack of understanding of what customers really think.
Yeah. And is it the case in your experience that retailers, because retail industry is awash with data, that it's not a question of having the data, they have the data, it's using the tools, having the tools to really interpret and understand that?
I'm always using but it's a very simple, and I'm using it always for my students as well at the university. If you're looking at modern decision theory, then there are 3 items you should take into your mind. First of all, it's the model, and it's the data, and it's the decision. And quite often we are focusing so much on the data, but that's not the main ingredient. The most important ingredient is the model. So if the model is not right, you can put whatever ingredient in there, the outcome will always be negative. So it's more modeling. So, and that's maybe the understanding retailers really should get, that they should get their modeling right, and then you can collect the data. Now it's quite often they're fully focused on the data, but they just don't know what to do with the data, And then if you don't know what to do with the data, it's very hard to get the right answer.
Yeah. And is this where AI really comes in a powerful way?
Yeah, but only if the modeling is right.
Right.
So
yes.
If you're using, so also with AI and especially with generative AI, if you want to use generative AI, then the prompting, so the modeling, should be very good because the data is in there. It has access to endless amounts of data, but the most important thing is that the modeling, so the question should be right.
So again, that comes back to having the right people and the skills within the business. And so that takes us back to, well, our pillar, which we call winning teams. And you've already touched on the scarcity of people. That's a huge issue. So again, sort of maybe touching on that. So what are retailers doing? What do they need to do to attract the right people into their businesses?
More than half is having difficulties in hiring store operations staff. So that's already, and 40% is facing issues hiring the right store managers to manage their physical channels. So this is really a big issue. If you're looking at headquarters, the biggest challenge there is in IT and tech, and to some extent in management or operations, but it's mainly IT and tech. As I mentioned, especially the skill gap for IT and tech is expected to impact retailers' abilities to adapt quickly to the changing technologies most. So that's what they fear. A clear number one strategy to battle this issue is investment in training and development of employees. And I truly believe that's where they should invest. 68% of respondents see this as either a good strategy to retain current staff, but the prospect of development opportunities can also be a means to attract new talent. And I really believe offering a good training and development program also really can help you in attracting new people, but it's most importantly to retain people. Other focus areas for retailers in this theme are the enhancement of company culture, offering competitive salaries, of course, and benefits, and engaging in employee branding.
Is it a case, do you think, particularly where it comes to technology skills, that there aren't enough people to generally, in the sort of general population, as it were, so it's not just retailers struggling, or is it, as I've always been told, retail struggles badly against some of these big, perhaps seemingly more attractive business sectors?
Two items to this course. First of all, if you're looking at Europe, and especially Western Europe, aging is an issue. So the number of available people is going down. And why is this such a big difference to the Americas? Especially also if you are looking at Europe, we tend to stop with working quite early. And maybe not in the UK or in the Netherlands, but if you are looking at France. But nevertheless, so we stop working at in the Netherlands at 67, maybe late 50s in France. But in general, we stop quite early, and the younger population is quite small. Nevertheless, in retail, we need many people, and especially in physical retail. And at the other end, we are not the best paying industry. So we are competing with the tech, we are competing with financial institutions, and they pay better. And especially tech is taking up so many people. So this is really becoming a real problem.
Mm-hmm. And then turning to, again, the pillar we call winning with innovation. Is innovation from the research all about AI? Was that the dominant issue when it comes to innovation that's going to drive the industry forward?
Generally, the research underlines the recognition that AI is a major topic in the industry at this time. 75% of the retailers see it as a critical to implement AI in their operations to stay competitive. So that's massive. 3/3 of the respondents believe it's important to use AI to personalize their customer experience in order to meet consumer expectations in 2024. Clearly, this is a real big issue. The value of AI is seen across the board. So both in consumer facing, as I just explained, such as in marketing, but also in the back end. And there you could think of supply chain management and operational efficiencies. You could think of forecasting, having the right products, but also forecasting, having the right people at the right time, at the right locations. And this could help eventually also this where there is the scarcity of products and there's the scarcity of people, AI really could help leveraging on this. In terms of barriers to adopting more advanced AI, there are three clear issues: talents, time, and money. Retailers say they lack skills to take advantage of AI, and here's why I think training could be already a good starting point. And if you're looking at time, I think they should make it their priority. So it's I think if you're talking about the time is the real issue, it's more about the putting the right priorities at the right place. And facing capital constraints, that's something I really can see, because everybody's talking about what AI will give you in return. But upfront, there's a huge investment, because there are really investment needs to do this. Interestingly, issues are surrounding lack of trust, privacy issues, or lack of belief in the viability, or maybe talking about the hype, that was to a lesser extent seen in the study. So they do really see that they should work with it, and they are not that, they don't believe that privacy issues are such a big pain. So that something is to be solved.
Mm-hmm. Wayne, do you have a view on what areas within the business that AI is at this stage best applied to and where retailers should focus? Because certainly I was hearing when I was at NRF, and I know you were at NRF in January, retailers were coming to the big tech companies with a huge shopping list of wanting to apply AI everywhere, which obviously is no company would have the resources to do that.
Yeah, but it really can be used in many areas. So so of course everybody is talking about marketing, and that's something I with generative AI, what I really can understand that you can use AI perfectly, but also in simple tasks. So if you are thinking of and I guess for the UK market, it's the same as for my Dutch market. And I know also from my colleagues across Europe. So we have many people from abroad, especially from Ukraine, working in our retail environment. So there is the language difficulty is there. And especially if you're thinking of giving people the right instructions, how to work in stores, here's also where generative AI can help you enormously. So if you want to write instructions, if I want to write them in Dutch, I can write them in Dutch and I can easily get them transferred and in simple bullets in Ukrainian and also in Polish. So then it's helping me in explaining it also to my colleagues where I can't communicate directly. And if you are doing it always in English, maybe my English is okay, but when I'm talking to somebody who's not its mother tongue, and also at the other end, it's not the mother tongue, then it's very hard. So here's also an area where AI really can help. And also where AI really can help is in planning, forecasting. Those are really areas where AI really can create a better working environment.
Yeah. Changing the topic area to our other pillar, which is around winning with purpose, which, you know, really at its heart is around sustainability and the efforts that retail is doing increasingly. But what was your sense of where the industry is with the huge tasks that they have to do to get to net zero, and obviously changing their business model, I guess, in many cases to be more sustainable?
You know, the big question is if we ever can get to net zero, but that's a total different question. But I think it's it will be very hard to get there. But compared to last year, we see that the amount of retailers that admit that they are doing too little in the area of sustainability has at least decreased. So that's the good side of the coin. So which also implies that they are ramping up, they are putting more effort in it. When we're looking at activities, a popular activity in this area is leveraging opportunities in circularity and recycling. And I think it's good that they are putting efforts there. But this year, retailers are looking also more at their entire value chain and are critically revising their partner supplier networks. And I think that's where it starts. So when we're talking about Scope 1, 2, and 3, you can see that they are really moving down into the supply chain, and especially they are looking at partners that are compliant with ESG.
That's it. And we talked about there the implications for the business model of retailers, but this is another topic that we're looking at, is that, you know, the changing or the need to change the retail business model. And I was, which you can tell us in more detail, but I was really struck by the findings in this area. I mean, there's a lot of talk, particularly from consultants, dare I say it, who say, you know, retail needs to change its approach and its business model with so many challenges and the changes in consumer. But it was really laid out quite, it is laid out quite starkly in the research findings, isn't it? How actually many retailers actually agree with that proposition.
Yeah. Yeah, to some extent, I would say. We already reported on this crucial sentiment last year, and see that this year the sentiment has not changed that much. Of course, it's impressive to understand that almost a fifth of the respondents thinks their business model needs fundamental change to be fit for the future. I believe that it's good that two-thirds of the retailers think that some change is needed, as constant evolvement of business models is crucial to stay agile and aligned with the industry. Nevertheless, if you're looking at the core of retail, and that's not a finding from the research, but if I'm looking as a consultant to the market, then you know the core business model doesn't need a radical change. Maybe what radical change is that if you're looking at what we are doing, we are buying goods and we are selling goods, and we are always trying to sell the goods at a higher price than we bought them. And from the difference, the profit, so the gross profit, we have to pay all the other costs. And I believe that technology can help us in increasing the gross margin, because I think that's where the benefit should be for retailers. So they should increase their gross margin. And increasing the gross margin could be that there's less slack in your supply chain, which could be solved by, for instance, AI and technology, decreasing the slack. If you are thinking of if everybody's talking about the scarcity of people, also there's slack, because the scarcity is also for a big proportion based on the slack, because we have more people than we probably need in our operations, but that's because people are getting ill or people are not at the right location at the right time. So planning better, knowing better when consumers will come in. So there's also, if we can forecast better on goods and on people, then we can reduce costs. And then the big question is, will you hand over all the reduction of costs to your consumers, or will you keep also a little bit for yourself? Because in general, if we are looking at the retail industry, where the net margins are way lower than any other industries, if we are comparing it to FMCG, or we are comparing it to consultants like us, or we are comparing it to financial institutions, everybody has at least their net margin is doubled from retailers. So I think that's where they should. So that's maybe the most crucial part of their business model.
Yeah, and that will be interesting, because in many markets, not all, but many markets, the consumer is really under pressure. So that need to serve the customer through the best possible prices, the best possible value in whatever interpretation that means is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's also that we have those low prices and that we are pushing for the low prices. There's also that many markets are overpopulated. So if you're looking at your market or my market, we have more retailers than we could bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think our margins are so low because we are with so many suppliers there. That's one of the issues.
Yeah. So drawing all those threads together, you said at the outset of the interview that the mood was generally okay and there was optimism. I was struck when you asked in the survey the individual retailers how optimistic or not they were about their own businesses versus the wider industry, that you know more retailers were optimistic about their own businesses than say the industry, but which is interesting. But looking at where they're seeing their growth coming from, where they see their business going, you asked them to identify where that growth was going to come from, where they're going to put their emphasis, and it was really quite striking how the physical store, despite all the talk of the changing market, the digital revolution, that is the big number, isn't it? That's where the majority of retailers were identified as where their growth is going to come from.
Ian, but retailers, so we go way back. So we know each other already for, I guess, more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And they were always optimistic.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's at the core of their heart, they retailers are optimists. So, I also recognize that they say that the power of, that there's the power of the physical stores. In the end, if you're looking at the business model, distribution via stores is still the most efficient way in distributing products. Because we as consumers take up a lot of the hard work. We pick from the shelves, we go to the checkout, we pay, we do the logistics to our home, and all those steps are, if you are taking it over as a retailer, those are expensive steps. So if the consumers are not doing it anymore, but we have to do it as a retailer. So that's, I do really understand. So nevertheless, they see that there is the combination of the both channels. And especially if you're looking at using both the channels as the advantage that you can take more market share. And market share is also, at the other end, it's always important for retailers. So if you're looking at the physical store, then we can see that there are some changes there because we see stores in many different forms. And that's also what they explain to us. So some see their stores as the place where they can provide experience to the consumers. And other retailers see their stores as the place where they can provide convenience. And some are even combining the both. So I think that's good to see. So I truly believe that there's still space for the physical channel. And also, it's a great way to reach your consumers. And it has a great commercial relevance for the retailers. So I think the store is here to stay. Maybe there are fewer stores in the future because part of the sales is done online. But even online players, where you're looking at, they're also looking into having physical appearance as well.
I guess the fact that, yes, the majority of people put the physical store as the area where they're going to focus and they see it as the area of growth, I don't think they mean they're going to leave the stores exactly as they are today or yesterday. I think we're seeing and you know hearing about retailers examining what is the future, what does the store need to look like, how does it function. I mean, is that something again you hear in your own consulting business and across Eveltoff with your clients?
Yeah, but that's also what I can see. So that, if you're looking at even within a store network, that retailers are really reconsidering their network. So this could be using different formats, and I think, you know, if you're thinking to the core of a retailer, they want to standardize everything. So the perfect world would be 1,000 stores, all are identical. The real world is different because every marketplace, every catchment area is different. So multi-format, having several formats serving the customer with the right format at the right place, I think that's the future of retail. So it's not fully differentiating. Not everybody has its own store, but somehow a bit differentiating in combination with standardizing where possible. I think that's the future of retail. And that means that some will have truly experiential stores and others will be more convenient stores.
Mm-hmm. So Frank, my last question, in summary, I think it was a really clever question that you put at the very end there. You asked retailers who responded for their advice to other CEOs in other businesses. What would they recommend or advise to those CEOs? So we got some fascinating answers, didn't we?
Yeah, but it's always a good question to ask them. What would you advise your peers? Because then you get a little bit to what they probably would advise also to themselves. So overall, what we like, how many of the comments revolve around three things. So it was open, so they could say everything. And we looked a little bit in, okay, if we are analyzing this, what are the three main themes they provide us? First of all, it was focus. Secondly, people. And thirdly, innovation. So in the end, it's nicely with your pillars. So it's connecting also with the dots there. So a strong focus on added value, going back to basics. So really is something we think is important for a CEO to manage their business. So that's also what they provided us. So going back to basics. So really understand what your business is, and really manage the business as proper as possible. Also putting the people at the heart of the business, fostering relationships with your teams is of great importance, and especially for a stable workforce and for continuity. So really making sure that you don't have to recruit all day new people. You have to imagine many retailers, they have a churn rate around 30 to 50%. So this means that if you're looking at the complete workforce, then either it's every 3 years or every 2 years that they have a completely new workforce. If you can reduce that only with few percent points, it saves you many, many people to recruit. And then thirdly, it was innovation. What we found there was quite often also the word efficiency. So how to become more efficient. But especially if you're thinking of the combination with the topic of AI, I think it's quite possible also to become more efficient, because there is still a lot of slack within the system, the business model of the retailer. I think AI really can solve this.
I think it's been absolutely fascinating to talk through the research. I think the report is available to download. So I really believe it will be very helpful to many, many retailers, and will form part of the big part of the conversations at the Congress. So, Frank, I wanted to thank you and obviously Ebeltoft for all your help and support with this I think increasingly important research now that we're into the second year, and look forward to the third and fourth and so forth, because that's when it's going to be really valuable.
And it will become really interesting
thank you for joining me, Frank, and look forward to seeing you at the World Retail Congress in Paris.
See you in Paris.
Thank you. Well, thank you again to Frank. I thought that was really fascinating to bring to life the Global Executive Research Study, which is now available for you to download. And it really reinforces the theme of this year's World Retail Congress. And there were some really interesting insights of how you, within the retail industry, view the key challenges. So if you enjoyed this episode of the World Retail Podcast, please look out for future episodes. As I say, you can download the Retail Executive Study. And if you enjoyed conversations like this, and certainly the themes that you heard will be explored in far more detail at the World Retail Congress itself, which is taking place in Paris on April the 16th to the 18th. So go to our website, www.worldretailcongress.com, for more information. So many thanks again for listening. Thank you for listening to the World Retail Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast for our latest episodes, and if you'd like to join the global retail community in person, do go to the World Retail Congress website for our forthcoming Congress in Paris in April 16th to the 18th.